a set of scripture texts we have today, interesting ones, beginning with the prophet Zechariah's picture of a divine ruler who comes riding into town on a donkey. But the text contains more than mere shock value. It's a text addressed to a world then and now in which people are all too familiar with leaders who rule and govern on the war horses of death. Leaders whose actions and policies too often increase rather than ease the burdens of their people. Of course, for Christians, the image of a ruler riding on a donkey immediately makes us think of Jesus entering Jerusalem to the acclaim of crowds waving palms. But Zechariah wasn't thinking of Jesus when he wrote these words. After all, he was writing centuries before Jesus' birth. Still, it's certainly not wrong to recognize in this prophecy character of the one sent by God to be the Prince of Peace, the one who came announcing God's rule of peace and justice to a world crushed underfoot by the forces of sin and evil and death. Zechariah's words connect to the gospel message claim that God comes to us as one of us, riding not on a proud animal associated with war, but on a humble beast associated with the tasks of everyday life, one used to carrying burdens, whether people or goods. This image speaks of a God who is not distant or detached from us, one familiar with the business of everyday life that leaves so many human beings burdened. In our time, as in Zechariah's time and Jesus' time too, many people have found themselves trampled by the war horse, whether the war horse of military campaigns and invasions, or the war horse of an unjust economy. And the prophet describes how that feels. It feels, he says, like being imprisoned in a waterless pit, like the one into which Joseph's brothers threw him while waiting to sell him off into slavery. Although we were created by God to live in a just and sustainable community, in every generation, every society, too many people find themselves trapped and unable to rise with nothing to quench their thirst for mercy, peace, or daily bread. Daily bread, which Martin Luther in his small catechism describes as so much more than just good bread to eat, encompassing everything from peace and good government, faithful neighbors, and good friends. So for us, as for Zechariah's first hearers, this news of a ruler on a donkey was good news, hopeful news, that God's absolutely willing to get mixed up with the dust and distress of human life, is ready and willing not only to understand our dilemmas, but also to make things right and rescue us, to make us prisoners of hope instead of prisoners of despair, to carry us, not just our burdens. In today's gospel, we find Jesus himself speaking about burdens. We hear him promise rest and relief to those who are carrying heavy burdens. But here Jesus specifically addresses himself to little ones, to people who humbly and honestly acknowledge their need of God, people who aren't trying to program their own salvation and relief, but rather who throw themselves and their cares and their burdens on God, trusting God to be gracious and merciful. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." But in the face of the burdens each of us bears, it seems a little odd, and maybe no relief at all, because he calls us to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. Really? A yoke? Despite Jesus' promises, why would that make things easier or more bearable? The yokes we know, whether literal or metaphorical, are connected with bondage and hard labor. They're single-user yokes that mean we must pull the load alone, whether managing an illness, our own or that of someone near to us, whether struggling with toxic relationships, whether struggling with not enough money, whether facing attacks because of how we identify ourselves, by race or gender, or because of who we love. But the good news, because the gospel is always good news, the good news is Jesus is speaking about a different kind of yoke. He's speaking of the yoke of relationship with him, a yoke that we don't bear alone, but that Jesus wears with us. This yoke is not for servitude or bondage, but for connection. A way of being in relationship with Christ that makes our work easier, not more difficult. Jesus also says, "Learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus, our teacher, comes not to add another item to the to-do list, but to invite us, to plead with us, to add him. He says, if you seek God's love, if you seek a way of understanding the world that allows you to deal honestly with what happens and not be destroyed, if you want to be who you are created and called to be fully, then come to me. And Jesus promises, "My yoke is easy." Or maybe a better way of putting this is to say, Jesus' yoke will fit. It will be the right size. Jesus doesn't ask us to pull the weight that he can pull, only what we can bear. Being yoked with Jesus means being yoked with the one who always pulls more than his own weight, because he can, and because we cannot. Being yoked with Jesus means being yoked to the hope he brings us, because he himself bore the yoke of sin and death all the way to the cross and down to the grave and rose again, having broken forever the yoke that we could not escape. being yoked with Jesus also means sharing the work Jesus did and now continues to do with us and through us, providing comfort, accompaniment, and encouragement, and calling out and resisting those actions and policies in the world that make burdens heavier for those least able to bear them. Without Jesus, we couldn't bear or dare to go there. But yoked with him, like the picture on the front of the bulletin, we find ourselves yoked not only to his strength, but also to the strength of all who have taken his yoke upon him. We began with Zechariah's picture of one ruler riding on a donkey. We end with a worldwide community, including our partners and friends in South Africa and Nicaragua, yoked together with Jesus, following where he goes, leaning on his strength, walking his way, continuing his work of burden bearing, burden lifting, burden sharing. And now we prepare to count the meal instituted by the one who freely accepted the yoke of death, so that we might wear the yoke of resurrection. Now we prepare to share the meal that brings us Christ himself and the gifts we need to live and thrive as his disciples. Now we prepare to share the meal that yokes us again to each other as to Christ, until the day when all burdens are lifted and we meet the feast that has no end. Let us then eat and drink eagerly today, so that we may say yes to Jesus' invitation and find the strength and will to take up the yoke he so graciously offers.